Amen for the reading of God's word. Amen. It's not because it's in the Bible. Amen. But it's just how we do it here in Victory Outreach. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. And so let's all stand for the reading of God's word. Amen. And I'll read a little bit and then I'll let you sit down. Amen. Because it is, I'm going to read about two chapters. Amen. But let me read a little bit, pray, and then I'll let you sit down. Amen. Is that all right?
Amen.
Amen. Let's read. Amen. Numbers chapter 14, verse 1. Thank you, worship team. Amen. Praise the Lord. Remember, I titled this message, Possessing the Promise. Amen. Numbers chapter 14, starting at verse 1. Are you there?
Amen.
Are you ready for God's word?
Yes, amen.
Do you want God to speak to you?
Amen.
Amen. Let's read. That night, all the members of the community raised their voice. Actually, no, I'm on the right. Let's go to chapter 13. We're going to read chapter 14, but we're going to read chapter 13 first.
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
Verse 1, Numbers 13. The Lord said to Moses, send some men to explore the land of Canaan, which I am giving to the Israelites. Which I am giving to the Israelites. That's a promise right there. Tell your neighbor, that's a promise right there.
That's a promise right there.
Whenever God says he's going to give it to you, he's making a promise. And if God says it, that settles it.
Amen. That's right.
Send some men to explore the land of Canaan, which I am giving to the Israelites. From each ancestral tribe, send one of its leaders.
Come on.
So at the Lord's command, Moses sent them out from the desert of Paran. All of them were leaders of the Israelites. Right there, let's pause and pray. Father, bless the reading of your word. God, as we continue to read it, bless it to our hearts. God, I pray that our hearts would be open, that you would bring confirmation like you've already had.
Yes, God.
And that your Holy Spirit would continue to move. And I pray that the church would hear what the Spirit is saying to us. Lord, we give you all the praise and all the honor. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. And everybody says,
amen.
Amen. You may be seated. In verse number 4, it says, these are their names. I'm not going to go through all their names for the sake of time. But I am going to go through just two of them. In verse number 6, from the tribe of Judah, Caleb, son of Jephunneh. Just skip down now. Where is that? Where am I? Okay, verse 8. From the tribe of Ephraim, Hosea, son of Nun.
Come on.
Now skip down, and it goes on to list their names, right? Let's read verse 12. From the tribe of Dan, Amiel, son of Gamaliel. From the tribe of Asher, Suthur, son of... These are the leaders that they picked to go explore the land of Canaan. 12 of them! One per tribe. Now let's pick it up in verse 16. These are the names of the men Moses sent to explore the land. Moses gave Hosea, son of Nun, the name Joshua. When Moses sent them to explore Canaan, he said, go up through the Ningvi and on into the hill country. See what the land is like and whether the people who live there are strong or weak, few or many. What kind of land do they live in? Is it good or bad? What kind of towns do they live in? Are they unwalled or fortified? How is the soil? Is it fertile or poor? Are there trees in it or not? Do your best to bring back some of the fruit of the land. It was the season of the first ripe grapes. So they went up and explored the land from the desert of Zin as far as Rehob toward Lebo Hamath. They went up through the Ningvi and came came to Hebron, where Aham, Shisha, Talmah, the descendants of Anak, lived. Hebron had been built 7 years before Zoan in Egypt. When they reached the valley of Eshcol, they cut off a branch bearing a singular cluster of grapes. Amen, amen. A singular cluster of grapes. Have you ever ate a cluster of grapes?
Amen. Come on.
Have you ever ate a cluster? How many hands you got to use to pick up a cluster of grapes?
One.
Have you ever ate a cluster of grapes that took you two hands? No, right?
No.
Check it out. They cut off a branch bearing a single cluster of grapes.
Come on, come on.
Two of them carried it on a pole.
Man.
Between them.
Wow.
Along with some pomegranate figs. The cluster of grapes was so big, it took two men to get a pole. Tie the cluster of grapes to the pole. You grab that side, I grab this side. Heidi ho, let's go.
Woo, come on.
That's how big one cluster of grapes was in the promised land. Huh? That place was called the Valley of Eshcol because of the cluster of grapes the Israelites cut off there. At the end of 40 days, they returned from exploring the land. They came back to Moses and Aaron and the whole Israelite community at Kadesh in the desert of Paran. There they reported to them. They brought back the report. And to the whole assembly and showed them the fruit of the land. Check this out. Huh? They gave Moses this account. We went into the land to which you sent us, and it does flow with milk and honey. Check it out. Here's its fruits. But the people who live there.
Come on.
See, the problem is sometimes your butt gets in the way.
Ooh, come on, Pastor.
And I'm not talking about what's behind you. But the people who live there are powerful. Wow. Have you ever butted God? And the cities are fortified and very large.
Come on, Pastor.
We even saw descendants of Anak there. The Amalekites live in the Ningvi. The Hittites, Jebusites, and Ammonites live in the hill country. And the Canaanites live near the sea and along the Jordan. Then Caleb silenced the people.
Come on, come on.
Shut your mouth.
Come on. Heavy.
Then Caleb silenced. He probably didn't say it like that.
Come on, Pastor.
Then Caleb silenced the people before Moses and said, "We should go up and take possession of the land, for we can certainly do it."
Ooh.
Tell your neighbor, "We can do it." But the men had gone up with him. But the men who had gone up with him said, "We can't attack those people. They are stronger than we are." And they spread among the Israelites a bad report about the land they had explored.
Oh, come on.
The devil's radio. Negativity.
Oh, come on.
They said, "The land we explored devours those living in it. All the people we saw there are of great size." We saw the Nephilim there, the descendants of Anak come from the Nephilim. We seemed like grasshoppers.
Wow.
Tell your neighbor, don't be a grasshopper.
Don't be a grasshopper.
Come on, little grasshopper. We seem like grasshoppers in our own eyes. And we look the same to them. Chapter 14. That night, all the members of the community raised their voices and started to cry. Like some chavalas.
Oh, come on.
All the Israelites grumbled against Moses and Aaron. And the whole assembly said to them, "If only we had died in Egypt."
Oh, no.
Have you ever said that? "If only if I died in my sin."
Oh, no.
"If only if I overdose off meth." "Or in this wilderness. Why is the Lord bringing us to this land only to let us fall by the sword?
Come on.
Our wives and children will be taken as plunder. Wouldn't it be better for us to go back?" to our Egypt? Wouldn't it be better to go back to meth? Wouldn't it be better to go back to cocaine? Wouldn't it be better to go back before, honey, how we used to fight all the time, honey? Wouldn't it be better to go back to Egypt? And they said to each other, we should choose a leader and go back to Egypt. In other words, let's not listen to Moses and Aaron. Let's choose a leader that will listen to us. Be careful what you ask for. Then Moses and Aaron fell face down in front of the whole Israelite assembly gathered there. Joshua, son of Nun, and Caleb, son of Jephunneh, who were among those who had explored the land, tore their clothes. Come on. They were so mad they tore their Victory Army shirt. Wow. Come on, man. Huh? Like, my God, they tore their Jesus shirt.
Come on.
Huh? It says, and said to the entire Israelite assembly, the land we passed through and explored is exceedingly good. Wow. If the Lord is pleased with us.
Oh, man.
Ask your neighbor, is the Lord pleased with you? If the Lord is pleased with us, he will lead us into that land. A land flowing with milk and honey, and will give it to us, possessing the promise. Only do not rebel. Remember, this is Joshua and Caleb addressing the people. Only do not rebel against the Lord, and do not be afraid of the people of the land, because we will devour them. They're not going to devour us. We're going to devour them. Their protection is gone, but the Lord is with us.
Amen.
Tell your neighbor, the Lord is with us.
The Lord is with us.
Yell it at them, the Lord is with us.
The Lord is with us.
Come on, yell it at me.
The Lord is with us.
Thank you, I needed that. Huh? Do not be afraid of them. But the whole assembly talked about stoning them. Huh? See, when you're a leader, get prepared for the whole assembly to want to stone you. You see, you're not a good leader if every once in a while they don't want to stone you. I'm not doing my job if not every once in a while you don't want to stone me. Amen. Some of you want to stone me right now. Amen. You want to stone me in the offering. Amen. And I'm not talking about cheaping it up either. Amen. Some of you are like, stone? What? Then the glory of the Lord appeared at the tent of meeting to all the Israelites. The Lord said, God says, oh yeah, you want to grumble against my leaders? You want to grumble against my plan, my promise? Here it is. The glory of the Lord appeared at the tent of meeting to all the Israelites. The Lord said, see, this is why when people start talking, I don't say nothing because I know the truth goes before me. Come on, somebody. God's going to defend us. God is your defender. Then the glory of the Lord appeared at the tent of meeting to all the Israelites. The Lord said to Moses, how long will these people treat me with contempt? That's what the Lord says. How long will these grumblers treat me with contempt? The only reason why I've heard that word contempt is in the court. Amen. Francisco, we're holding you in contempt of court. Amen. They never told me that. Amen. Because I was scared of the judge. Amen. But I heard them say to other people, amen, we're holding you in contempt of the court. Because he was talking back to the bailiff or something. Amen. That's how people are. They talk back to God.
Oh, come on.
God says, I'm giving you a promise. And you say, but.
Ooh.
Huh? How long would these people hold me in contempt? How long would they refuse to believe in me? In spite of all the signs I have performed among them. I will strike them down with the plague and destroy them. But I will make you into a nation, Moses, greater and stronger than they.
Amen.
Moses said to the Lord, because he's a good leader. Then the Egyptians will hear about it, God. By your power, you brought these people up from among them. And they will tell the inhabitants of this land about it. They have already heard that you, Lord, are with these people. And that you, Lord, have been seen face to face. That your cloud stays over them. And that you go before them in a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. If you put all these people to death, because that's what God wanted to do. See, sometimes God is a God of love. God will whack you, man.
Oh.
God will take you out.
Come on now.
If you put all these people to death, leaving none alive, the nations who have heard this report about you will say, the Lord was not able to bring these people into the land he promised them on oath, so he slaughtered them in the wilderness. See, Moses is like, his concern is for God and the people. Now may the Lord's strength be displayed just as you have declared. The Lord is slow to anger, abounding in love, and forgiving sin and rebellion. Yet he does not leave the guilty unpunished. He punishes the children for the sin. Let me read that again. Yet he does not leave the guilty unpunished. If you're guilty, you're going to get punished. Even if you're a Christian, my God. Huh? You'll be saved. Amen. You'll go to heaven. But you're still going to have to suffer some consequences.
Come on.
If you sit, the wages of sin is death.
Wow.
Amen. You're going to reap what you sow.
That's true.
So, yeah, he does not leave the guilty unpunished. He punishes the children for the sin of the parents.
Wow.
See, this is why you got to be a good parent, man. It says he punishes the children for the sin of the parents.
Oh, wow.
To the third and fourth generation.
Wow.
You know, your sins can affect your children.
Right. Wow.
In accordance with your great love, forgive the sin of these people, just as you have pardoned them from the time they left Egypt until now. The Lord replied, I have forgiven them. That easy. Look at that. I ain't got so good. I have forgiven them. That easy. First he was going to whack him. Then he says, you know what? Okay. I listen to you, Moses. I forgive them. As you asked. See, this is why it's important to pray for people.
Yes. Right.
Wow.
Right.
Come on.
This is why it's important to pray for those who persecute you, those who mistreat you, those who lied about you, those who cheated on you, those who did you dirty.
Amen.
Pray for them, forgive them, and ask God to forgive them.
Amen.
Nevertheless, as surely as I live, and as surely as the glory of the Lord fills the whole earth, not one of those who saw my glory in the signs I performed in Egypt and in the wilderness, but who disobeyed me and tested me 10 times. Why did he say 10 times? Why did he say 10 times? Because of the ten spies that were negative.
Right. Oh, wow.
Yep.
Come on. He put their negativity on the whole camp.
Wow.
Where did I find my place? Where am I at? Okay, verse 23. Now one of them will ever see the land I promised on oath to their ancestors. No one who has treated me with contempt will ever see it. But because my servant Caleb has a different spirit. Woo! Come on, where's them different spirits at?
Amen.
Huh? We need some people in the house of God that have the spirit of Caleb, that are of a different spirit. You don't have the spirit of negativity. You don't have the spirit of doubt, but you have the spirit of Caleb.
Amen.
But because my servant Caleb has a different spirit and follows me wholeheartedly, I will bring him into the land he went to, and his descendants will inherit it. Since the Amalekites and the Canaanites are living in the valleys, turn back tomorrow and set out toward the desert along the route of the Red Sea. Stay in the desert if you want. Amen. I'm going to the promised land. The Lord said to Moses and Aaron, how long will this wicked community grumble against me? I have heard the complaints of these grumbling Israelites. So tell them, as surely as I live, declares the Lord, I will do to you the very thing I heard you say. Be careful what you say.
Man.
The very thing you said. Remember what you said? The land devours the people. They were like grasshoppers in their eyes. That very thing you said, that's what I'm going to do to you.
Wow.
Where are we at? Where am I at? Verse 29?
It's good, man.
Okay. That's not verse 29.
26.
You guys ain't even following me, man. Wow, I'm doing all the work here. Okay. In this wilderness, your bodies will fall, every one of you. Okay, you're right. No, you're not right. You're wrong. I mean, let's just start in verse 29. Oh, yeah, verse 29. Sorry, I'm wrong. You're right. Amen. In this wilderness, your bodies will fall, every one of you, 20 years or more. who was counted in the census and who has grumbled against me, not one of you will enter the land I swore with uplifted hand to make your home, except Caleb, son of Jephthah, and Joshua, son of Nun. If you're 20 and up, you're not going to see the promised land.
Ooh, come on.
But I'm going to spare the next 20 and down, they will get to go into the promised land. As for your children that you said will be taken as plunder, I will bring them in to enjoy the land you have rejected.
Ooh, come on.
But as for you, your bodies will fall in this wilderness. Your children will be shepherds here for 40 years, suffering for your unfaithfulness.
Come on.
In other words, they got to wait till you die in order to enjoy their promise. Until the last of your bodies lies in the wilderness for 40 years, one year for each of the 40 days you explored the land.
Wow.
How long are you going to remain? How many days is it going to take you to be in doubt?
Wow.
Be careful, because days can turn into years. You will suffer for your sins and know what it is like to have me against you. I, the Lord, have spoken, and I will surely do these things to this whole wicked community which is banded together against me. They will meet their end in this wilderness. Here they will die. So the men Moses had sent to explore the land, who returned and made the whole community grumble against him by spreading a bad report about it, these men who were responsible for spreading the bad report about the land were struck down and died of a plague before the Lord.
Wow.
I told you, the Lord will whack some people, man. Of the men who went to explore the land, only Joshua, son of Nun, Caleb, son of Jephunneh, survived. When Moses reported this to all the Israelites, they mourned bitterly. Early the next morning, they set out for the highest point in the hill country, saying, "Now!" Oh, now you want to go. Now we are ready to go up to the land of the Lord promised. Surely we have sinned. But Moses said, "Why are you disobeying the Lord's command?" It's too late, man. This will not succeed. Do not go up, because the Lord is not with you. You will be defeated by your enemies, for the Amalekites and the Canaanites will face you there. Because you have turned away from the Lord, he will not be with you, and you will fall by the sword. Nevertheless, in their presumption.
Wow.
In their presumption. Have you ever presumed God was going to do something?
Wow.
Yeah. You presumed. And nevertheless, in their presumption, because they thought that God was going to change, just because they changed their mind, they thought God was going to change his mind. Nevertheless, in their presumption, they went up toward the highest point in the hill country, though neither Moses nor the Ark of the Lord's Covenant moved from the camp. Then, check it out, the Amalekites and the Canaanites who lived in that hill country came down and attacked them and put a beat down on them. Put a beat down. Let me bow your heads. Let me pray one more time. This is heavy. Amen. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for these two chapters. So much inside of them, God. And I pray that you would help me, God, to draw nuggets from these two chapters to teach us how to possess the promise. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
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 God gave the children of Israel a promise.
Come on, Pastor.
Which was the promised land. A land flowing with milk and honey.
Come on.
A land flowing with milk and honey. I know today you don't like milk. Come on now. Some of you don't like milk. I don't just go to the refrigerator and just open up the thing of milk and just jug it. I don't do that. The only time I eat milk is with my cereal. Or as Jeanette calls it, cereals. Maybe you like milk. Amen. I might drink hot, chocolate milk. Amen. Strawberry Quick. But you may not like milk today. But back then, milk was the bomb. It was a commodity.
Right. Come on.
And God says, I'm giving the children of Israel a promise. The promise is, I'm going to give them a land that's flowing with milk and honey. See, back then they didn't have Snickers and Twix and candy, but they had honey.
Ooh.
Come on.
And it was a commodity. And in other words, God was saying, listen, I'm going to give you a good land that has some good stuff in it. And this land is going to be you. It's going to be yours. And God gave them this promise. And just like God gave the children of Israel a promise, God has given us as a church a promise.
Amen. Amen.
God has given us as the Christian a promise.
Amen.
God has given Victory Outreach Grand Prairie a promise.
Amen.
But like I said at the beginning, people don't know how to receive a promise from God.
Wow.
We don't know how to receive a promise from God because every time we hear that word promise, we say, yeah, right.
Oh, come on.
It's like when you get, it's like when you go to your mailbox. Come on, somebody, right? And then you get your mail and you see an envelope that looks like a check.
Oh, come on.
Right? Have you ever got those? $5,000. They put it right on the big on the envelope in red. 5,000 yours. You know, or some of them, they give them real slick. They put a picture of the check. Come on, somebody. Right?
Yeah.
And it's like, and then you know, because you're like, sometimes you're like me, you're like, oh man, you open it real fast because you're like, maybe, just maybe. Oh, hello, somebody. Right? But you know it's a scam, you know it ain't true. Why? They're saying they're giving you a promise, this we're gonna give you this amount, but they never do, it never comes through.
Oh, come on.
And so what happens as a people, we get used to living a life with broken promises.
Ooh.
And we come to God, and when we hear a message like this, like God has given you a promise, it's hard for us to receive that promise.
Come on,
it's hard for us to receive that God has something good for us. It's hard for us to receive that God has an abundant life for us.
Come
it's
on.
Hard for us to receive that God has a promise. He says, I promise I'm going to heal your marriage. I promise I'm going to heal your children. I promise I'm going to save your children. I promise I'm going to give you a good marriage. I promise I'm going to give you a good life. I promise I'm going to take care of you. I promise I'm going to heal you. I promise I'm going to use you. I promise I'm going to raise you up. I promise I'm going to bless your life. I promise I'm going to raise you up and make you great. I promise I'm going to heal you. I promise I'm going to deliver you. I promise that you're not going to be a nobody, but I'm going to raise you up to be a somebody. I promise I'm going to use you all over the world to preach the gospel. I promise I'm going to use you to reach the treasures out of darkness. We come to God, and sometimes we don't know how to receive a promise.
Man, come on.
But I receive my promise.
Woo.
God promised me when He promised me when I was in prison. He promised me when I was in a prison, He was going to make me a preacher.
Mm-hmm.
Come on, somebody.
Yeah.
That was He promised when I was in prison. He showed me a vision, a promise that I would He would use my life to mend broken people, to help drug addicts and gang members come to Christ to see their lives change. And listen, I've seen that promise fulfilled.
Yeah.
But I have to possess the promise. I had to embrace the promise, but too many Christians, they don't know how to embrace the promise.
Wow, come on.
Just like the children of Israel, they look at it, God allowed them to explore the land. They went in and they seen that what God said was real, but yet they came back and they could not accept the fact, this is too good to be true, my God. This is too good. It's like people come to church, they come to Victory Outreach, and they see the atmosphere, and they see the miracles take place, and they hear the testimonies. They hear me testify. They hear me tell my story, how I was in prison, how I was in a gang member, how I was hooked on drugs, how I was all messed up, but look what God did in my life. And I said, what God did for me, He'll do it for you. And they come and they say, wow, man, I want God to do that for me. But no, they leave this place and they say, oh, God did that for Pastor, but He can't do that for me.
Wow, come on. Heavy.
It's hard for people to embrace the promise that God will bless their marriage.
Man, come on.
That God will bless their children.
Man.
That you can have a good marriage.
Wow.
You can have some saved teenagers.
Come on. Wow.
I don't know about you, but that's a good promise.
Yes, man.
To have a good, healthy marriage, a thriving marriage, a romantic marriage, man. That's what me and my wife have. My God, we love each other with a passion.
Come on. That's good.
Capital P, hello, somebody. I can't get my hands off of her. Amen. Vice versa. It's all right, because I got one of these. Some of you are, oh, Pastor. Huh? We have a good marriage.
Good man.
Huh? We have a good marriage. good. We have saved. They're not even teenagers no more. My God, they're young women.
Amen.
Huh? Young women. My son's on the drums. Huh? Timothy, I think he's going to be a Christian rapper. Every new song that comes out, he's going to say, last night a new song came from EGR. He did it in Spanish. He says, oh, Dad, this one's going to be hard to memorize because I don't speak Spanish. But it's the promises of God. Yeah. It's the promises of God coming to pass, and my family will be saved. Me and my whole household will serve the Lord. It's the promises of God that I see every Sunday and every Friday. This is the promise come to pass in my. And I'm here going to tell you, if God did it for me, God will do it for you.
Yeah.
Woo.
Good.
We are a people of promise.
Heavy.
We are a people of promise.
Good.
But we have to learn how to be a people of promise.
Yeah, good.
See, the children of Israel, they didn't know how to be a people of promise. Why? Because they just came out of Egypt.
Wow.
And the Egyptians probably broke a lot of promises to them. You remember the dope man broke his promise to you? Oh, come on, somebody. Remember when your girlfriend, boyfriend broke their promise to you?
Oh,
I'll never cheat on you.
Wow.
Come on.
Oh, I'll never do you dirty. I'll always be here for you. Por vida.
Oh, come on.
Me and you, honey.
Come
huh?
On.
But when you walked in, come on, somebody.
Oh, Lord.
You caught him with another woman. Huh? Because Egypt does that to us. Egypt messes us up here. And we don't know, we don't believe people's promise. But let me tell you something. God ain't like people, my friend. He ain't like the people from Egypt. He ain't like Pharaoh. He ain't like the Egyptians. We serve a good God. And if God promises, he will come through with that promise. It may take a little while. You might have to wait on God. But it's not because you're waiting on God. It's because God is waiting on you. He's waiting on you to get it together. Because listen, if he gave you the promise right now, you wouldn't know how to handle the promise. And so listen, it's not about if God's ready, it's if you're ready. So God has to take you through the wilderness sometimes in order to get you ready. You wonder, I'm going through this wilderness, I'm going through this trial. Why you promise God? It's because God is taking you through a process so that when you finally inherit the promise, you won't mess it up.
That's good. Amen.
Amen. We're people of promise. But the same thing that hindered the children of Israel can hinder us from possessing the promise. There's three things that hinder us from possessing the promise that hindered the children of Israel.
Come on, Pastor.
The first is bad leaders.
Wow, that's true.
Bad leaders or bad leadership.
Come on.
Bad leaders or bad leadership kept the children of Israel from possessing the promise. You may say, yes, Pastor, get them. Get them on the front row. Get the leaders, Pastor. Huh? No. You're a leader of your house. You're a leader of your house. You're a husband, you're a father, you're the leader, you're the priest of the house. Mom, you're right next to him. You're his assistant. You're a single mom, you're the leader of the house. Huh? You got to get up. You may say, I'm single. You got to lead yourself. Bad leaders or bad leadership will hinder us from possessing the promise. See, bad leaders bring a negative report. And the reason they bring a negative report is because they have a negative attitude.
Oh, come on now.
They have a negative attitude. What do they have a negative attitude about? They have a negative attitude about the work.
Wow. Oh, wow.
Because these leaders, the 10 that went, there was 12 that went, but it was 10 that brought back a negative report. Because when they went into the promised land, and surely they seen that it was a land flowing with milk and honey, but all of a sudden they took their eyes off of the promise. They put their eyes on the people. They put their eyes on the problem. And they started saying, oh my God, we can't beat these people. We can't defeat these people.
Wow, come on.
They had a negative outlook. When you are a leader in your house or in the church and you have a negative outlook, listen, the only reason they were negative about it because they said, man, those are big people that we got to fight.
Oh, Oh, come on. Wow.
Those are big giants that we got to take down.
Wow.
So they were negative because they knew they were the ones going to have to do the work.
Wow. Ooh. Come on now.
Huh? And bad leadership is a leadership
that is negative about the work.
Wow.
Negative about the work of ministry.
Wow.
We're going to go do the parade. We're going to march in the parade. Oh man, how long do we got to march? It's a mile, 2 miles. Oh my God.
Oh Lord,
that's real. 5,000 flyers? Look, there's only 50 of us here. How many flyers? I ain't passing out no 5,000 flyers.
Come on, man.
Building pledge, another one?
Come on.
Huh? Negative about the work.
Oh Lord.
Huh? Oh, okay, let me break it down to the home level.
Oh. Huh?
The home level. You gotta get a job.
Hey.
Come on.
You mean I gotta get up at 5 a.m? Huh? Yeah. And guess what? You're gonna have to buy a car. Oh, I want to spend all my money on video games, on clothes.
Come on, Pastor.
Negative about the work.
Wow.
Well, you're going to have to watch the kids. Why do I got to babysit?
It's not babysitting when it's your own kids.
Hey.
Oh.
Get him, Pastor. Come on.
Come on.
Negative about the work. Come on, somebody.
Come on.
It's been quiet up in here.
Woo!
Huh? This is why some people are afraid of marriage and commitments.
Come on.
Because marriage takes work.
Yeah. Come
on. Marriage takes work.
Right.
Yo, what do you mean I gotta love her? What do you mean I gotta hold her hand? What do you mean I gotta romance her? What do you mean? What do you mean I gotta be faithful to her?
Wow.
Oh, come on.
What do you mean I gotta submit to him?
Takes work.
Wow.
Come on.
Work. Bad leadership is negative about the work of ministry. Sis, listen, you got to understand that attitude is everything, my friend. Yeah. When you look at Caleb and Joshua, they had a positive attitude. But these 10 leaders of these tribes, they were negative. Their attitude caused them to miss out on the promise that God had for them. We need some leaders in the church. We need leaders in our homes. We need leaders in our communities that are good leaders, that are not negative but are positive, and say, Pastor, that's right. We can't take the city. It may just be 100 of us, but we can take the city for God's honor and God's glory. We can do this for God. We can reach the treasures out of darkness. We can build a strong church. We can take the. I can take a city one day. I can be a man of God one day. I can. Our marriage can be good. Our marriage can thrive. Our marriage can be romantic. Our kids can be saved. Good leaders that speak life, not death.
Come on now.
See, negative leaders speak death. But good leaders speak life. You got to be careful what you speak, remember. If you're always calling them dumb, if you're always calling them ugly,
wow.
If you're always calling them bueno para nada,
wow.
Huh? What are you speaking into his life? If you're always calling her lazy,
wow.
If you're always calling her a couch potato, if you're always calling her, come on somebody.
Wow.
Heavy,
huh? Come on now. So, and those are good words. What about the bad words?
Wow.
The B's and the H's and, huh?
Tell the truth, Shane.
Come on now.
Yeah.
Pastor, yeah, I didn't say it. Huh? And I don't say it. Huh? Well, what do you think? There's life and death in the power of the tongue.
Right.
See, this prevented the children of Israel from possessing the promise. It's time to have a paradigm shift. It's time to change your thinking. It's time to change the way you think. It's time to change the way you talk. It's time to have a positive. It's time to be a good leader and speak life and say, we can serve God. Yes, we can serve God. We can go to Mighty Men of Valor. We can take the city. We can serve God together, honey. Our kids can be saved. it. We can be a tither. We can be a couple that loves God. I can be a man of God. I can be a woman of God. I can stay pure. I can live holy. I can be that evangelist. I can be that pastor. The second thing that prevented them from possessing the promise was doubts. Doubts. How could they doubt God after seeing Him split the Red Sea? They seen God split the Red Sea. Let me break it down to our level, VOGP level. Can I do that? Huh? It's like us going to the Mountain Creek Lake. Come on, somebody. You know Mountain Creek where we had the church picnic?
Yeah.
You know, I used to go to that lake when I was young. And the family used to go. And we used to have picnics and we used to go swim in that lake. We would have the tubes, you know, those big swimming tubes? Man, we'd be swimming in that lake, having picnics, grills, cookouts. Man, a lot of people would be out there. Not no more. Right? Not on the Dallas side, on the VOGP side. But you can't even get in the water. But it's like us going over there now that you can't get into the water. See, you know what? God splits open Mountain Creek Lake.
Come on.
You don't have to use the bridge. You ain't got to pay a toll fee. Hello, somebody. We ain't got to pay a toll fee because God split it open.
That's right.
And we walked on dry ground. Baby. Can you picture that?
That'd be good.
Now that, 100 times bigger.
Yeah.
That's what God did for the children of Israel.
Wow.
That's what He did for the children of Israel. That's what He did. I mean, He split the Red Sea, and the Bible says that the children of Israel walked on dry ground across the Red Sea. And as they walked, as Moses looked to the left and looked to the right, and as the children of Israel looked to the left and looked to the right, you know what it was? It was the biggest aquarium ever known to man. You thought Dallas Aquarium was tight. You ain't got nothing on the Red Sea Aquarium that God did, because as Moses looked to the left, He seen the octopus, He seen the shark, He seen the whales, He seen the starfish, He seen He seen all the fishes in the sea. And He looked to the other side, He seen more animals, He seen the sharks and all the fish, and it was the biggest aquarium you could ever see.
Wow. Come on, best.
After that, they still doubted God.
Wow.
Even after God drowned it, when they finally crossed, and the children of And the people of Egypt, the Egyptians, try to go cross with them and follow them into the ocean. The Bible says that God caused the sea to come back and drown all the enemies of the children of Israel. After them seeing all the plagues that God put on Egypt and Pharaoh, after God bringing manna from heaven, and so many other miracles, they still doubted God.
Oh, man.
How can we doubt God?
Mm. Wow.
After seeing God set you free from ice, coke, weed, alcohol, Jose Cuervo, cigarettes, nicotine. After seeing God set us free, after seeing God save us, us, that we're in the club on Friday nights, that we're in the bars on Friday night. You weren't on church on Friday night. You were on your way to the dope house on Friday night. After seeing God save you, never in a million years would you say you'd be in church on a Friday night. But here you are on a Friday night, worshiping God, serving God, after seeing the miracles of God. After God seeing God heal your marriage when it came in on the verge of divorce. After seeing God heal your body when you were sick and the doctor said there's no hope for you.
Come on.
After seeing God bless you in only the way that only He can bless you. God has done it over and over and over and over again. And He doesn't stop blessing us. He doesn't stop His miracles. Yet we want to doubt God. God, you can't. There's no hope for my marriage. There's no hope for me. I'm a backslider. I've always backslid. I'm never going to be able to break this backsliding spirit. We doubt.
Wow.
How can we doubt God?
Wow.
But the sad fact is some will still doubt God. See, doubt is the opposite of faith.
Wow.
Doubt is the opposite of faith. This held. Quit doubting God. I'm trying to teach you how to possess the promise.
Amen, amen.
The last thing that hindered the children of Israel was fear. Their hearts melted. You know how you know that they were afraid? Because, and you know how you know when you're afraid? Is because the children of Israel, what they started to do is they exaggerated the size of the people because of fear. They exaggerated the size of the people because of fear. Listen, when you have fear, you begin to exaggerate the size of your problem.
Oh, come on.
Remember, fear, the acronym for fear is false evidence appearing real. That's the acronym for fear. False evidence appearing real. They exaggerated the situation because of fear. They said, we're going to die. They were afraid. See, fear always paralyzes us. Fear comes when the devil has your ear. Fear comes when the devil has your ear.
Come on now.
Fear comes when you're not feeling good.
Heavy.
And the devil says, you see, that's a disease.
Wow.
You see, it's the C word. It's the C word. I won't say it. I won't say it. Huh? I trip out. Some people, they go to the doctor and they said I have C. I said, don't say it. Why speak that? Don't speak it.
Come on.
Well, my pastor, his wife, she went to the doctor and the doctor told her that. And this was years ago. He started fasting and praying and they made a promise. Says, honey, we're never going to say that word in this house. Out of our mouths, we're never going to say it. They made a covenant not to say that word. And guess what? Here, years later, she's still around. No C.
Man.
No C. No C. Why? Because there's life and death.
Right.
The power of the tongue. Huh?
It's true.
But sometimes, all of a sudden, we don't feel good. Oh, it may be the C. It may be this. It may be that. And it's this. And it's that. You know why? Because the devil has your ear.
Wow.
And the devil starts to whisper to you, I'm going to take you out. You're not going to see your kids grow up. You're not going to this, you're not going to that. See, fear is because the devil has your ear.
Wow.
What's going to help us possess the promise now? Well, it's the opposite. Good leadership is going to help us possess the promise.
Right.
Good leadership.
Amen.
See, good leadership like Joshua and Caleb. That's the 10 were negative, bad leadership. But the 2, Caleb and Joshua, represent the good leadership. Do we have any good leaders in the house tonight?
Hey.
See, good leadership is rare.
Come on.
It's rare. This is why it was only 2, because it's rare. Listen, you gotta choose to be that rare. You gotta choose to be those few. You gotta choose to be the 2. Good leadership sets itself apart from the rest. This is why you can't follow the crowd. If everybody is jumping off the cliff, you're going to jump off the cliff too?
No.
Huh? Got me bent. Come on, somebody. Huh? Seth, you got to set yourself apart from the rest. Good leadership sets itself apart.
Come on, Pastor.
When everybody else is being negative, when everybody else is going to hell in a handbasket, good leadership says, no, I'm going to have faith. I'm going to believe God. If God gives a promise, if God said he's going to save my marriage, then I'm going to believe God for my marriage. If God said he's going to raise me up, then I'm going to believe God that he's going to raise me up. If God says that he's going to bless me and he's going to bless us, then I don't care what other people say. I choose to believe God. I don't care what the world says. Oh, you'll never be nobody. You'll never be that leader. You'll never be that preacher. You're always going to struggle in your marriage. No. You can say that all you want, but as for me and my house, I'm going to believe that God has good things. He has a land flowing with milk and honey. He has a land flowing, and I'm going to possess that land. I'm going to possess that promise. There's a city with my name on it. I'm going to grab a hold of that promise, and I'm going to fulfill the promise of God upon my life. That's what me and my wife did. We got a hold of the promise, and we just said, God, we believe you. If you gave us a city, then God, we believe that the promise will come to pass, and God has fulfilled the promise in our lives.
Amen.
I believe in the promise. You got to set yourself apart. Secondly, faith instead of doubts. See, faith is the key that unlocks miracles. We need faith. We need faithful leaders. In other words, leaders that are full of faith.
Yes.
See, we need leaders, that we need Bible study leaders that are full of faith, that are going to say, man, God's going to build this Bible study to 50 people. We need faith. We need faithful leaders that say, God's going to build this gang ministry to 100 young people. We need faithful leaders that are going to look at the church and say, God is going to build this church. We're going to build a 100-member choir. We're going to have 2 men's homes. We're going to have 2 women's homes. We're going to open up 3 second discipleship homes. We are going to build the ministry. We're going to reach the treasures out of Christ. We're going to reach every man put on the streets of Grand Prairie. We're going to launch out into Oak Cliff and into Arlington, into Irvin, and to Knoxville. And God is going to give us every treasure out of darkness, because that's a promise that God has given us. He's given victory out of it. A promise that I will go before you and I will level the mountains. I will make the crooked places straight. He's given us a promise. Your descendants will inherit the desolate cities of the world. Our children will serve God. It's a promise.
Hallelujah.
And it's coming to pass. And it's not just for me, it's for you.
Yes, it is.
It's for you, it's for you, it's for you.
Amen.
What do you want your children to be out there in the clubs?
Come on now.
You want your children to waste their life and be an atheist and be an agnostic and not serve God and split hell wide open?
Wow. Heavy. Come on, Pastor.
Oh my child, I don't care if they become a doctor.
Come on now.
I care if they get to heaven.
Right.
Man, they can work in the warehouse if all they want, as long as they get to heaven. My God. But I take that back. I'm not going to speak that in their life. My kids are going to be pastors.
Amen.
Evangelists.
It's good.
It's hard for me to say this, but missionaries. Mm. Oh, hello, somebody. You think I want to send my kid across the world? But hey, it's not my will, it's God's will.
Amen.
That's right.
My kids are going to serve God.
Come on.
It's good, Pastor.
They're going to serve God.
Amen.
Huh? Faith. And we need faith. And thirdly, we need courage.
Amen.
If you're going to possess the promise, you need good leadership. You need faith and you need courage. You need to be a good leader that has faith and a leader that has courage.
Amen.
You know why courage? Because you're going to face some giants.
Oh, come on.
Just like they face giants. Just like they see. You're going to face obstacles that are going to look like giants. But let me tell you something. The bigger they are,
the harder they fall.
That's right. The bigger they are, the harder they fall. The bigger they are, the more glory to God.
Yeah,
that's right.
Courage. See, courage is not the absence of fear, but the overcoming of it. Courage is not the absence of fear, but the overcoming of it. The overcoming of fear. I would lie to you if sometimes I'm not afraid, but listen, I learned to overcome my fear.
That's good.
See, you got to have heart. You got to have cora.
Right, that's right.
You can't be like the lion on the Wizard of Oz.
Yes.
If I only had a heart. Oh, chicken lion. Remember? He wanted the Oz to give him a heart. Only Jesus can give you heart.
That's right.
Amen. Only Jesus can give you heart. Some of you thought you had heart because you got high off meth and, ooh, I'm on ice and I can pick up a car. Huh? See, listen, we're talking about having courage without no drugs.
Hello.
Huh? You can come up. You gotta have heart. See, Caleb and Joshua had these qualities of good leadership, faith, and courage. Therefore, they would enter into the promised land. The rest would die in the wilderness. See, in the church, there are those who are like the 10 spies and those that are like the 2 spies, Caleb and Joshua. Of course, everyone wants to be like the 2. But sadly, too many end up acting like the 10. The 10 spies and those like them, the ones like them are those that listened and agreed with them. Be careful with who you let in your ear.
Yeah.
Wow.
Have the spirit of discernment. Are they the 10 or are they the 2?
Wow. It's true.
Hmm? Because see, if you listen to the 10, you're going to go down with the 10. But if you listen to the 2, you're going to get blessed with the 2.
Amen.
That's what's important. You listen to your pastors.
Amen.
Listen to your leaders.
Jesus.
See, once they seen the Lord's anger with them, and how he responded by striking the ten with the plague and by killing them and by them dying. And also by God judging them and not letting them enter into the promised land. They tried to change their mind. They tried to change their mind after they seen the judgment of God, after they seen the anger of God because of their doubt and their lack of leadership and their lack of courage. After they seen God strike those 10 negative leaders down, all of a sudden they wanted to try to change their minds. Why didn't God accept their change of mind? Why didn't he accept their change of mind? Because we serve a merciful God. The Bible says if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us of all unrighteousness, right?
Right.
But why did the judgment change? Why didn't God change his mind about the judgment?
Why, Pastor?
Three reasons why. Real quick. One, because it wasn't a change of heart. It was a change of mind.
That's right. Oh, wow.
It wasn't a change of heart.
That's a good nugget.
It wasn't just a change of heart. It has to be a change of hearts. It has to come from here, because when it comes from deep down in here, that's when it begins. That's when it really works.
Right, it's good.
They just had a change of mind because it made sense. Oh man, you know, it makes sense that if we just do this, and that means God's going to take us out like he took them out. So our mind tells us the right thing to do. We better change our mind and change the course so that God don't strike us and we don't stay in this wilderness. And so they just reasoned in their mind.
Yeah. Wow, come on, Pastor.
What needs to happen is there needs to be a change of heart.
Man,
God needs to do heart surgery.
It's heavy.
Secondly, because it wasn't genuine. It wasn't genuine. It wasn't sincere. And thirdly, it was because he seen their heart wasn't right. It was a heart of doubt, a heart of fear. And then one more reason, fourthly, because God couldn't have them going into the promised land with a defiled heart. A defiled heart is an unfaithful heart. But yet in following their MO, the children of Israel, they continued to rebel against God. And they tried to get God to change his judgment by trying to force the blessing. Huh? Look at it again in verse 44. In chapter 14. Right? Was it 14? Nevertheless, in their presumption, they went up toward the highest point in the hill country. Though neither Moses nor the ark of the Lord's covenant moved from the camp. Nevertheless, in their presumption, because they tried to force the hand of God. See, sometimes Christians presume God's going to change his judgment just because they now want to do the right thing.
Wow.
Caleb and Joshua presumed God would give them the promise.
Wow.
Caleb and Joshua, they presumed that God would give them the promise. But they presumed on the right side of the decision.
Wow.
The Israelites presumed after the fact.
Wow.
We must make right assumptions about God. And this takes faith. Assume right on the right side of the crossroad. Listen, God, we come to crossroads at times.
That's true.
And it's at those crossroads where we have to make a decision.
It's heavy.
You're going to come to a crossroad in your marriage. You're going to come to a crossroad in your finances. It happens all the time. Every time you get paid, you come to a crossroad.
Come on now.
Am I going to pay my tithes? Am I going to pay my United Weekend? Am I going to pay my pledge?
Where?
Am I going to fulfill my vow or am I not? You're at a crossroad.
It's true.
In ministry, you always come to crossroads. Because in ministry, you got to make decisions.
Right.
You have to make decisions. And in ministry, you come to crossroads. And if you don't act in faith to do the right thing, what God wants you to do, the thing that God wants you to do, the will of God by faith. By faith. By faith. You got to make the right assumption. Assume right on the right side of the crossroad. When you're at that crossroad, you got to make a decision with faith. Not with doubt.
Good.
Not with doubts.
Good,
make your assumptions on the right side of the crossroad.
The children of Israel, they were on the wrong side already. They had already, the crossroad, they had already passed the crossroad. They had already started going, they already started walking outside of the will of God. Oh, well, we're going the wrong way. Let's just turn back. Let's just turn back. Well, why doesn't God let... No, because a lot of times deep down in your heart, you know the right thing to do. But you're ignoring it. You know it because God brings confirmation. He brings confirmation through His Word. You know it because God speaks through your leaders to you. You know it because the Holy Spirit dealt with you about it. But we assume, well, God will be merciful. We assume. Listen, if God has cast judgment on you, accept it.
Wow.
Accept it. Your soul will be saved, but in this world, you will have trouble. There's some Christians, listen, you've made some bad decisions. If I wasn't a real pastor, I would tickle your ear right now. I would tickle your ear. But I got to tell you the truth.
That's right, Pastor.
A lot of Christians and people in this room have made bad decisions. And a lot of it is not because God is not unloving. It's because you reap what you sow.
Right. That's true.
You wonder why your marriage is falling apart? Well, because you've been sowed a lot of negativity in it. You wonder why things are happening in your body. What have you been putting in it? You wonder why you're at in the place of ministry where you're at. Listen, you'll be saved. But sometimes you're going to have to live for a while with trouble.
It's true.
Trouble in my way. I got to pray sometimes. It's a song that we used to sing in prison. Trouble in my way. I gotta pray sometime. It's a lot of trouble. We sang that in prison, rightly so. Because we put ourselves in prison.
Right.
I was in prison. I went to prison. And I was saved.
Amen.
But I didn't blame God. God didn't put me in prison. I put myself in prison.
Right.
I knew that was a judgment on my life. I did the crime, I did the time. That was a judgment I had to do that time. Huh? But I didn't blame God. Listen, if you fall under the judgment of God, just accept it. Even the New Testament says, no discipline seems good at the moment.
Come on.
But later on, it produces a harvest of righteousness for those trained by it. See, sometimes God has to deal with us as His children, because if He didn't deal with us, the Bible says we would be bastards.
Wow.
That's what the Bible says.
Yeah.
A bastard is somebody that doesn't have a father. That's a legal word, it's not a cuss word. But the reason why God deals with us is because He is our Father.
Amen.
And you may say, well, you shouldn't have said that, Pastor, because I didn't know my dad. You have a daddy now in Jesus.
Amen. Yeah.
You have the Heavenly Father who loves you. You have a spiritual Father who loves you, who's just telling you the truth. If you want less trouble in this world, be a good leader.
That's good.
Have faith. Be courageous. And inherit the promise. Possess the promise.
That's good.
Possess the promise. God is faithful. Listen. All this stuff, all this that I've been talking to you tonight, it's been about the children of Israel. The children of Israel represent the church. We are the church.
That's right.
And God has given us a promised land. We know that that promised land is heaven. He's going to come back for us. He's not going to leave us as orphans, the Bible says.
Amen.
He's going to come back for us. He has sent His Holy Spirit to us.
Right.
To be with us. But we have to possess the promise. And God has given us promises here on earth.
Come on.
But first, you have to receive the promise. What is the promise of God? What is it? What is it God has promised you? What is God promising you? I know what God promised me, but what is God promising you? I know that we have a promise as a whole, as a church, but what has God promised you? I want you to stand to your feet. And as you stand here tonight, if you can't point to a single thing that God has promised you, then you're not living the life of being a child of promise. And you got to get a promise from God. You got to get a hold of God's promise for your life. Why are you here tonight? Are you here because, you know, it's a good idea to go to church? Yeah, that's great. But some of you are here because you need a promise to be fulfilled in your life. It may be something I said here tonight. Maybe you want you say, you know what, I want my family to serve God. I want a healthy marriage. I want my children to serve God. Then grab onto that promise. Some of you, man, I want to serve God. I feel a calling on my life. You feel a calling on your life? That's a promise.
Amen, amen.
You're called to be a woman of God, a man of God. That's a promise. Some of you went to World Conference, you went to Mighty Men of Valley, you went to Women's Convention. You said, man, I want to preach like them. I want to be an usher like them. I want to be a leader. I feel like God's called me. That's a promise.
Amen.
But you got to possess it through leadership, faith, and courage. Possess your promise. God has a good promise for you. But you got to possess it. Lift your hands right there where you're at. I want to pray for you, Father, in the name of Jesus. Lord, tonight, God, I pray that your word brought confirmation. I pray, Father, Lord, that tonight, God, you would give promises. Speak to your people. Give them a promised land. Give them a land flowing with milk and honey. Give them a land of plenty. A land of plenty, God. Give them peace. Give them something of their own. The children of Israel had nothing of their own. But you gave them a promise that you would give them a land of their own. Give the church something of their own, God. We know that you promised us the city. You promised us treasures out of darkness. And you're faithful to give us those treasures. But I pray, God, that today that you would speak to your people. You're a faithful God. You're a loving God. You're a forgiving God. And you're merciful. Let us accept what comes from your hands. The good and the bad. Let us not blame you for our mistakes. Let us not be discouraged. Because your word says you are a forgiving God. And I've seen you time and time and time again. You've changed the destiny for many.
Yes.
And I pray that tonight you would change the destiny for those that are here. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Glory to God. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, your word. Lord, your word. Hallelujah. 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 Just worship the Lord right there where you're at. Just worship the Lord. Just close your eyes. Tonight, God might have been dealing with you tonight. He's been dealing with your heart. He's exposed some things in your heart, in your life. You have to receive those things by faith. You can't reject them. You just got to accept them. I've learned over my years that when I humble myself before God, that's the first stop to getting on the right track. And maybe tonight you find yourself at that crossroad. You find yourself at that crossroad. And God is telling you, come. Lay it all down by faith. By faith, let me change you. By faith, let me change the circumstance of your life. By faith, let me change your mind. Let me change your heart. Let me change that negative attitude. Let me change that doubt. Let me change that fear. Let me change the bad issues within your heart. If that's you here tonight, I want you to come to this altar. Humble yourself before God. And say, God, I don't want nothing to get away in my promise. I know I've done things that hinder my promise in the past. But here I am, Lord, at a crossroad. And I want to do the right thing. The good thing is that He's put a new covenant in the blood of Jesus. And what the blood of lambs and goats and sheep couldn't do, the blood of Christ can do. He can give you a second chance at the promise. The children of Israel only had one chance because the blood of goats and sheep wasn't enough. Jesus hadn't came on the cross. But we're in a new covenant now. It's a new day. It's a new season. And His arms are open. His power is still real today. Like it was back then, it's still real today. Here He is. He's ready to put you on that right course. Just surrender to the Lord. Surrender to God. Pour your heart out to God. Pour your heart out to God. A broken and a contrite heart, oh God, You will not despise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Glory to You. You're worthy. You're worthy. Oh, hallelujah. 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 Oh, hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah.